It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live, entertainment review. Roll out the red carpet. Here's Michelle.
Where's that red carpet? Where's my red carpet? Where's my red carpet? Hey, thanks for joining in today on My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live, whether it's entertainment, science and technology, news, whatever we take on, we try to look for a deeper story, a message of hope, encouragement. We call it the God story. Today on Entertainment Review, the most successful iconic band of the 1970s and still so crazy profound today. You may have heard of this band called The Eagles. Well, they just wrapped up their 2021 portion of their Hotel California tour, and I'm going to take you there. You're going to get to see a little bit of what I saw at the concert there. We're going to review some movies, including a movie you may not have heard of, but boy, is it catching fire. And well, first, we're going to look at a little entertainment news.
Entertainment news.
Thank you, big voice guy. In entertainment news, well, God shows up in interesting places. You may remember the movie Goonies or True Grit, even Everest. Well, one man that stars in all three of those and many more, Josh Brolin. This week, Josh posted an Insta celebrating sobriety and giving a lot of praise to God, thanking God for his peace and thanking God and his family for the most punk rock sobriety. I love that. Seriously, though, good for you, Josh Brolin. Really, when life and experiences are vivid and awesome without the aid of substances, awesome. Punk rock, way to go. He posted a picture. In fact, I'll give you a little view of his Instagram, long posting, but he posted a younger picture of himself and just kind of celebrating life. So good for you, Josh Brolin. Absolutely. That's just good news. Just good news. A story, another story in the news from a man who used entertainment to share his ideas of faith. And he did it old school many years ago. In these things we used to call books that people would read. Maybe people are still reading them. I don't know. Now, a movie about his life was completely sold out nationwide, and it's a biopic film about Christian apologist C.S. Lewis. You know him from books like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Mere Christianity, The Screwtape Letters, many things like that. Well, this movie about his life was scheduled to be in theaters for one night only on the 3rd, but it blew the doors off ticket sales, and now we'll be in theaters through November 18th. So you may want to catch the movie The Most Reluctant Convert. Now, we're going to be talking about The Most Reluctant Convert, the untold story of C.S. Lewis with Paul Acey coming up in this episode of My Michelle Live Entertainment Review. So don't go anywhere. It's going to be pretty cool. That's old school. Sharing with books. What about new school? Sharing faith and entertaining in the new metaverse. Here's a question. Can even a computer, an algorithm, artificial intelligence, sing praise, give praise to God? Should it? Can it? That's the question. Why am I asking? Get this. Check this out. A new virtual artist named JC was created by Marcus Boone Enterprises. Last month, they released their first single, or it released its first single, Biblical Love. This gospel song you're listening to right now was written, recorded, and performed by a flippin' algorithm. No kidding. The founder, Marcus Boone, said, we're excited. to be one of the pioneers and trailblazers in this AI space in the gospel industry. And he says they have more plans to release and develop even more AI artists like this. That was reported in Get Up Mornings. So wait. Are you kidding me? We're even being replaced. Maybe we could have an algorithm that can pray for me. Or pray so I don't have to. I don't know. Before you think that humanity is going to be replaced by the next best thing, this song that you're listening to is actually a rendition that was originally performed by British singer-songwriter Callum Scott. Now, you know him from Britain's Got Talent. I believe he won in 2015. He released the song as Just Biblical in June of this year. So yeah, even those algorithms need a little bit of humanity behind them. And you know, while this is, it is amazing. You got to admit, it is pretty amazing. You can look up Biblical Love. We'll put a link on My Michelle Live and you can tell me what you think. Do you feel as I do? The overly produced music that's out there, it might be okay and we listen to it, tap our feet, but for some reason, can't compare to this crazy, awesome, original music that used to have poetry and dynamics. It would be loud. It would be soft. They'd record in weird ways with the microphone swinging so they could get these cool effects. It was just seemed to be innovative. And maybe that's me. Maybe I'm just getting older. Have you noticed, though, that we will pay big bucks to see artists still rocking out and they're in their 70s and sometimes 80s because there's just something about that real music. What is it? Well, I'm going to give you my review soon of the Eagles Hotel California tour and we'll get a little inside look, okay? But first, I wanted you to hear from one of the men who is in the band on tour, Joe Walsh. This is actually, I thought was kind of cool. It was what he had to say about music today and what's kind of off about it.
And they're just cranking out music that is like just a recipe. You know, nobody's playing at the same time. Everybody's adding on virtual instruments that don't exist onto a drum machine that somebody programmed. And you can tell in the music that's out now. It's all been programmed. There's no mojo. There's nobody testifying. There's not the magic of a human performance, which is never perfect. And the magic of a human performance is what we all know and love in the old records by the way they were made. And it's all gone. So we'll see what the digital age has in store.
Wow, that was so right on. There's just something magical and there's something really powerful. And this leads me to the deeper story for me, the God story, that music, it's not perfect. But in its imperfection, there is something so beautiful, so powerful. I think about that in my own life and in your own life. I mean, this broadcast, it's not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. The Bible says that God's strength is made perfect. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. It's where we're weak, He's strong. Where we're weak, we see something incredible, a strength, a resolve. Oh, I love it. And there it is, right there. And something as crazy cool as the words of Joe Walsh. Joe Walsh was on tour with the Eagles. We're going to give you a little look inside of that. And in this More Than Music feature.
More Than Music.
Thank you. Well, as we look a little bit more than music today, we're going to be looking at the music of the Eagles. Wow. For me, total bucket list concert. If there's one band that I could say has influenced my music, maybe more than any other, it may have been the Eagles. Definitely. They had their finger on the pulse of America for 50 years of what we wanted, of what we liked. So let's go see the Eagles. You're looking at footage from my experience at the Eagles Hotel California tour. They just wrapped up their 2021 portion of the tour on what would have been Glenn Frey's birthday. Frey, of course, a singer-songwriter and guitarist for the Eagles, passed away at his age of 67. But get this. His role was filled in concert by his son, Deacon. Wow. They are accompanied by Vince Gill, Patrick Roselle, who you may or may not have heard of, with a full orchestra. He wrote the score for many of their songs. This may be the last opportunity to see this band. And I will tell you what, it was epic. It was iconic. Not a dull moment for the entire 3 hours. They performed the entire album of Hotel California in order, front and back, and most of their hits. A few times, it brought tears to my eyes. Just, I don't know, maybe it was just an appreciation. This was definitely a concert that I wanted to see, and it was spectacular. So there's my review of the Eagles concert. Go and see it when it's in a town near you. Now, let's invite a friend to review some movies. So with Entertainment Review, we look at news in entertainment. We will highlight some things that you may be able to see around the country and oftentimes the world. And we will also get you plugged in to the movies. And we have a special treat for you today because we've got Plugged In Paul to join us.
I'm Paul Acey.
That's right, Paul Acey, Plugged In Paul, bringing it to the table, ready to review the movies. Woohoo! Hey,
how's it going? I tell you what, I want that intro. I want to play that intro every day when I go to dinner. You know?
Heck yeah!
Just to impress my wife. Say, look, I even get my own theme music.
I know. Yeah, I think life needs to be like that. There's three things actually. We need intro music and a red carpet. Just, you know, we should just be able to say, you know, this, I need a red carpet day. The other thing we need is, I think we need to treat each other like we do our dogs. Like, Paul, who's a good guy? Oh, it's so good to see you, Paul. You're such a good boy. Okay, maybe that's condescending. Never mind. At least the red carpet. We'll go with the red carpet, right?
I take belly rubs. I take all sorts of belly rubs. I would be fine with being treated like
a dog. Life would be better with belly rubs. There you go. Well, the question is, as we look at some of the movies this week, we're going to review some of the big things, the ones that everyone's talking about, maybe one that people should be talking about, and then give some recommendations. So I wanted to, right off the bat, get to this one. It's The Eternals. And The Eternals, I mean, everybody is talking about The Eternals. It's a Marvel Studios extravaganza. It looks spectacular. It has a lot of actors in it that we know. Let's look at the trailer.
5 years ago, Thanos erased half of the population of the universe. But the people of this planet brought everyone back with a snap of a finger. The sudden return of the population provided the necessary energy for the emergence to begin.
How long do we have?
7 days. We're Eternals.
came here 7,000 years ago to protect humans from the deviants.
Why didn't you guys help fight Thanos? Or any war, or all the other terrible things throughout history?
We were instructed not to interfere in any human conflicts unless deviants are involved.
By who?
And that's the question. By who? That is the Eternals. Let's talk about it, Paul.
So, by who? That would be the Celestials. And let me just tell you right off the bat, Michelle, the trailer is really cool and far better than the movie, I think. The trailer is pretty neat. The Celestials are essentially, what we have here is we have sort of an origin story for this group of immortal, very powerful superhuman beings called the Eternals, obviously. They were created by the Celestials to deal with creatures known as the Deviants, who apparently came from deep space. Now, Celestials have created most of the known universe in this telling. They created Earth. They did all of this. These creatures from deep space, they say, come down to attack and eat pretty much everything on their new creation. So they create the Eternals to deal with these deviants and only deal with the deviants. So all these Eternals are placed on these planets to deal with this threat. And here on Earth, what we see is that the Eternals did such a good job that the Deviants are gone by, say, year 1500 or so, which leaves them kind of bored. They're not called back. They're just sort of hanging out. And eventually they just start to question why they're still there. What is their purpose? And so eventually they sort of go their separate ways to live normal lives as much as they can. They're still instructed not to interfere with any mortal problems, no wars, no famines. They just have to watch out for deviants. In the movie, the deviants come back. They thought they destroyed them all, but it turns out they are back. And so they have to deal with them. And that sort of jump starts the rest of the story.
Oh, there's so much interesting, so much there that's interesting for me. First of all, if there's these amazing Celestials, they're obviously not omniscient, or they would have had them intervene when Thanos snapped his fingers, because then it would cause deviance. You know, that's the thing when you go down the road of Eternals and trying to have godlike figures without omniscience, things break down a little bit too quickly for me, so it's hard to follow. This is also a film that, from what I understand, doesn't play well for a biblical worldview.
No, it certainly does not. It certainly does not. As you can tell from the trailer, and kind of even from my lead up, we're talking about a creation story. We're not just talking about the creation of the Eternals. We're talking about the creation of everything, right? And this is definitely not a creation story pulled from Genesis. This is the MCU's official version of how what we know of the universe has been created. You have some elements in the movie that seem cherry-picked from other faiths. There's definitely some Eastern spirituality that we see here, but a lot of it is just this creation story created by Marvel to explain the existence here. And for me, and for I think a lot of Christian viewers, that leaves something to be desired. You know, I think no matter what, we like to see our faith reflected in the stories that we watch. And Michelle, you and I have talked about Marvel movies a lot. And I think oftentimes we can find elements of our Christian story reflected in some of those stories. And that's one of the things that makes them powerful for me. This one feels like it takes a pretty significant step sideways. It still has all the bombast of a Marvel movie. It still has all the action, but spirituality, it's so murky and so muddled and so apart from what I see as the true faith, as what I would follow, it really kind of left me a little bit cold.
Okay. But we can know that it's fantasy. This isn't real life. They're not trying to start a religion here. But even having said that, does that mean that the movie breaks down? Is it hard to follow? I mean, that's where I guess I have a question, not seen it yet. When you utilize a worldview, especially spiritual-based worldview, there seems to be only one worldview that has real consistency. If not, man, bring it. I want to know. I don't mind a challenge to my faith. But, Paul, I guess what I'm saying is I have a concern that a movie has a hard time using a worldview that doesn't have consistency and then putting out something that makes a lot of sense. Are they able to do that?
You know, not really. Not really. And one of the things, we'll just talk about Eternals for a minute on kind of a cinematic level. Because the world that they're trying to set up, the universe that they're trying to set up is so complicated, it drags. It really drags in spots. It's a long movie. It's more than 2.5 hours long, I believe. And what you see in the trailer in some ways reflects quite a bit of the movie, because it has to set up at the very beginning what's actually happening, who these people are, why they do what they do. And there's a lot of those moments within the movie where you're sort of being told what's going on, because you just have to know the backstory for it to make any sense.
And
whatsoever.
That's fair. Okay.
So you have some good action sequences here, but it's really bogged down. And even though they try to bring some humor into the story, which Marvel has always been very good at, they've kind of failed here. They do have some attempts, but it feels very grim. It feels very serious, and it feels pedestrian. You know, even though some of these super beings can fly around, it feels like it's slogging through mud at times. And I think part of that is just because of the complexity of the world view that they're trying to present here, and also the inconsistency.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the inconsistencies and then some of the positive elements.
Yeah. So what you have here, one thing that I think the movie does try to do is that it asks us to ponder some interesting things. Like if you really tried to work hard at shellacking Christian faith on here in some manner, then it comes up with some interesting questions. You have these celestial beings who, as you mentioned, they're not completely omniscient. They don't know everything. They make mistakes. You have a division between Eternals, and I'll try not to spoil anything here, but you have a division within the Eternals. Are these Celestials worth following? Is their purpose worthy of seeing through to the end? And so you have some Eternals who say, yes, they have served the universe well. They are looking for the higher purpose. They are trying to do what's right. They deserve to be followed. Other Eternals say, no, this is wrong. What is happening here on Earth? We find out that the Celestials may not have Earth's best future in mind. And Eternals are pushing it against that. They're saying, listen, this is wrong. This should not be happening. And so on one level, you have, and I think it speaks to a struggle sometimes that if we think deeply about our faith, we sometimes may encounter ourselves. You know, when God doesn't make sense, do we follow? What what makes him worthy to follow? And that's an interesting...
There we go. That's our burnt toast moment. If you were new to Entertainment Review, when Paul Acey joins us, I have joked that he can spiritualize burnt toast. I mean, you can find a lesson, a life lesson. And I love that about you. I think that... That's why I don't shy away from movies like this, even when they seem to make a mockery to a degree of faith. There's so much that you can glean from it and think about. One of the things that, not having seen the film, but have, you know, done some research, that comes to mind is this idea of good and evil. One of the biggest reasons, and we'll get to even this issue in the next film we're going to talk about, is the issue of good and evil. Is there a God? And if there's a God out there, then why is there so much evil in the world? So these celestials and these eternals don't intervene, you know, just let things happen. So they're okay with evil happening in the world. Seeing a Christian worldview, all of that evil makes sense. You understand that it comes because we made these choices and God desires to have a relationship with us, to intervene, to make even the bad things make sense in our lives, to conquer evil in our lives, and to ultimately recreate a universe where, because of our free choice and our choice to trust Christ as our Savior who conquered evil on the cross, boom, we have hope. It makes sense in a Christian worldview. That's the biggest question people ask about, well, if there's a God, why is there evil in the world? But yet, Marvel can mock, to a degree, Christianity. Hollywood can say, and yet they still have the same dilemma.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, these are questions that have always plagued us. And I think, as you said a little bit ago, you know, there is one... In my mind, there is one pathway that makes sense, you know? That's not to say that it entirely makes sense. That doesn't mean that we don't have questions along the way, or that we don't have pain points along the way.
Or issues where I have to, you know, say, God, we need to have a talk here.
Right, exactly. I think that there's a ton of mystery along the pathway, but it really does become, when you look at it holistically, I think that it really makes sense. And it's one of the reasons why I'm a Christian today, is because to me, it makes sense.
It
Which
makes
may be
sense.
A segue to the next movie that you want to talk about.
Yes.
I'm not going to say
that. And that is where worldview really does matter. This is where we can talk about the struggle with, if there's a God, why is there evil? Well, one of the most famous authors of all time, C.S. Lewis, had that struggle himself as his mother died at a very young age. And he thought, well, if God loves me, you know, if there's a God, you know, how could he do this? It doesn't make sense to him. And on the death of his mother, that's when he ceased, as he says, being a Christian. That's when he became an atheist. And there is a film that's out in limited release called The Most Reluctant Convert, and it's the C.S. Lewis story. The Untold Story. Let's look a little bit at the trailer.
There's no God behind the universe, a God indifferent to good and evil, or worse, an evil God.
Do you believe that logic and reason bring forth indisputable truth?
I do.
And are your moral and aesthetic judgments valid and meaningful?
They are.
For the first time, I examined myself with a serious, practical purpose. What I found appalled me.
How could a mere man be called a great moral teacher and say the sort of things Jesus said?
Such as?
That night, as I read Fantastes, my imagination was baptized. The rest of me took a little longer.
The Reluctant Convert, the untold story of C.S. Lewis. I'm looking forward to this. In fact, I believe it's this quarter's magazine of Christian History Magazine is all about C.S. Lewis, and what a fascinating look into this man, his very real faith journey. I mean, real, practical, raw, no hiding beneath a mask of perfection here. It is quite a story, and I'm looking forward to this movie.
Yeah. It is a very, very nice movie. I think that for huge fans of C.S. Lewis, a lot of what is in here is not necessarily untold. I think a lot of it is unpacked in his book, Surprised by Joy. The movie is actually based on a stage production, a one-man stage production had done some significant, it had done really, really well. And so they moved it into this movie environment. As you can tell from the trailer, they have added quite a bit that you couldn't do in a stage production. You know, you see C.S. Lewis as a very young boy as his mother struggles with cancer. You see him as a young man fighting in World War I. You see these elements that sort of help bring this story to the big screen and make it more cinematic. But the heart of the story is still really all about C.S. Lewis's journey to faith. And it is incredibly, you know, I'm a big C.S. Lewis fan. So I have always loved his ability to speak so rationally, so logically, so winsomely about these truths of faith and bring in humor as he does so. He feels so approachable. And that comes across in this film as well. It's a great movie, I think, for people who are journeying on this faith journey. They're like whether they're like Jack Lewis himself, where they're moving from one stance to another, or whether you're just like you and me, Michelle, walking the faith and sometimes dealing with some very difficult questions. C.S. Lewis asked all those questions, and I love the way he answers them.
I appreciate, especially in this age of, quote, science and reason, that his conversion, his coming to faith, was not that of an emotional experience per se, but you see a lot of his intellectual ascent, the things that make sense, the logic, the reason, even the science that you look at and find that there just seems to be a place where there's irrefutable evidence that there is something out there. What is it? And what is the worldview, back to worldview, that most accurately fits the logic, the reason, and the science?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things that actually the person who reviewed the movie for Plugged In came back and told me that really impressed him was just how intellectual not only Lewis was, but how intellectual the age was. People really thought in a way that maybe it doesn't feel like we do today. Now, that's not to say that we don't think, but here's the interesting thing is back when he was growing up, you think about what did they have to do? There wasn't Netflix to turn on. You didn't have video games to play. You sat down and you read a book. And that created an environment where you could explore thoughts, sink into your own imagination, develop these new worlds in a way that I think that Lewis really embraced. Today, we have so many distractions, you know, and obviously I'm swimming in this world of distractions. You know, I review movies and TV for a living. But sometimes because it's so easy to go to a screen, we forget to go to a book. And I think that's one of the things that you can take away from this movie is just how sometimes if we push away some of the distractions that we deal with every day, we can really sink not only intellectually, but emotionally into some deeper issues.
I do love that. I love the thought of that, because you can see in this film the beauty of what used to take place, these philosophical discussions. People, you see Tolkien, and who of course is the author of The Lord of the Rings, which we all know, and C.S. Lewis, who Tolkien played such a vital role in C.S. Lewis's discussions and thoughts on faith and even his conversion. Why? Because they had these intellectual discussions from, hold on and wait for it, maybe sit down before I say this. They had two different points of view. Yeah. And they were able to discuss and debate. And there was such a beauty in being able to debate over a beer, debate over dinner, to sit by a fireside and talk about differing things and to hash things out. That is where iron sharpens iron. That's where people get their ideas challenged and perfected. That's what science, by the way, looks like. Science looks like, let's challenge. Let's bring this to the table. Wait a minute, you're saying this, and this is what we all believe, but there's other intelligent people that are saying this. Go ahead, talk it through. Don't be afraid of it. This is what I loved about C.S. Lewis, his conversion. What I love about this movie, set in a very entertaining way, and your challenge that, in a way, have we become dumbed down? All of the information at the touch of our fingers, and yet we become kind of dumbed down. Yeah. Our ability to communicate, our ability to articulate, the words that we use, everything has been dumbed down to about an eighth grade level. And are we suffering from it? How can we get back to a place where we're thinking, reading, challenging, and debating? Yeah. So,
yeah, and you know, if I had some advice to that, I would say just turn off the TV every once in a while. You know, it's really, turn off the social media every once in a while. I think that sometimes we live in a world where, and I fall into this too, I love to read. And yet, you know what I do most evenings? I come home and I flip on something that I don't have to think about too much.
That's right.
I just kind of engage the brain that much. It's just so much easier to watch a screen. But I think that we do ourselves a disservice, because it's a very passive medium to watch a screen. Oftentimes, we don't necessarily engage with the entertainment like we should. And we can just sort of absorb it. And then we don't have the ability to discuss like we used to. You know, I think you hear all the time about how angry and how shrill social media can be. Sometimes we do wind up arguing a lot, but I think the way that Lewis and Tolkien operated was a discussion. You know, an open discussion amongst people who really had some strong feelings, but were able to discuss it civilly. And I think that that's where we can learn from each other so well, is when we take the time to take a breath and actually discuss.
Face-to-face works. And I love your encouragement to turn off social media, turn off the electronics, and get into a book. I wanted to take this moment. You'll see on screen that Plugged In is more than just movies. We often talk about movies here, television, but there's also games, music, YouTube channels, and books as well. So if you go to pluggedin.com, you can see here there's reviews on a ton of books, mostly for young people, teenagers, kids, but oftentimes for adults as well. You can get book reviews. I appreciate that. So anything social, anything that is pop culture, you guys are on top of.
Well, we try. And again, you know, I think that this pop culture world that we live in, it has value as well, but we'd have to engage it with our thoughts and our feelings engaged. We have to be willing to process what we see. And I think that that's really the key to dealing with this bewildering world of pop culture that we live in.
Hey, I wanted to, in our final minutes together, get your thoughts on Dune, because that's the other big thing out there. There are some things, to be honest, that maybe we should cover. I know Ryan Reynolds and The Rock got a movie that, well, it's I don't know, more Red Notice, more of what's to be expected, you know, kind of violent, and you don't walk away with your life changed, but it's kind of entertaining. There's language, there's things, and these are things that you may be sensitive to, and you want to think, is it appropriate for my kids? That's why you go for the long review at PluggedIn.com. But we do have like Red Notice out there. There is a movie that is imaginative. I don't know if it's necessarily worth the see, Last Night in Soho. But Dune is the big blockbuster out there.
It is. It is. And it is quite the movie. So I am sure that when Adam was on with you, he spent a long time talking about Dune because he is a huge Dune fan.
You know
huge
it.
Huge.
You know
Dune
it.
And I read the book back when I was, say, 14. So I am not quite the fan that he is, but my wife is. She has read, I think there's something like 21, 23 books all told. She has read most of them.
Wow.
It's incredible. So she knows her Dune. This movie is a movie that if you are a fan of the books, you're going to dig this movie. You're going to dig this flick because it really reflects the books well. It brings it to life. I don't know if I have seen a movie that has such spectacular special effects as this one. It has some really powerful moments. For me, not being the huge Dune fan that Adam is or my wife is, it felt a little long. And by the end, I was sort of thinking, okay,
it is.
I don't need to see another fight scene. I just don't.
It is long. I mean, let's just be honest. I loved Lord of the Rings. The first movie that came out was spectacular, but it was long. We have also come to an age in short order, less than 2 years, where we're kind of used to watching things at home. We're used to being able to pause it, go make popcorn, take a break. Whoa, what was that? Rewind it. We're kind of used to that. We're used to being able to get up and do something while we're watching. So I can't even imagine anymore sitting in a theater for 3 hours. You know, I'll go to games. I'll go to football games, baseball games. Baseball games are long. That's one of the biggest complaints now is that baseball games are so long. But at least you have a seventh inning stretch, at least, right? So when you're in a movie and you're just sitting there for almost three hours, come on, it is long, Paul.
It is long. I kind of long back for the days, you know, when in the 1950s, when they were making these huge 3-4 hour epics, they would often have an intermission. I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to return to an intermission so you can just stretch your legs. These stories can be worthwhile, but man, it can be hard to sit through them. And I think you're right. I know of kids, my own kids, perhaps, who have a hard time actually sitting through an entire hour-long TV show. It really is difficult to sit down and absorb that in the YouTube age, because we're so used to things going so quickly, boom, 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 that it can be hard to focus your attention for much longer than 20 minutes these days.
Now, that's not to say that Dune isn't worth it. I'm just saying I'm looking forward to watching it at home. where you can we'll take a pause, we'll come back for part two. I like watching that way. We like to go to recommendations and give people, look, this is what I think you might be really interested in. First thing that I would like to recommend is the C.S. Lewis film. But based on what you said, getting back to turning things off, maybe this weekend I can recommend this. Oh, you guys should review this book. This may be, do you remember the old series, guys, and Paul, This Present Darkness, Frank Peretti, Piercing the Darkness. If you love those, this is not quite the same. I'm not saying that, but it has that kind of a feel. And it's called Breaking Yesterday. It is a spectacular book by Brent R. Baker. It is a story of time travel where there is a nefarious character that is trying to go back into time to kill baby Jesus before he changes the world, goes to the cross. And what happens in this? It is so well written. It is so exciting. It is better than any movie. In fact, it creates a movie in your head really well. And so Breaking Yesterday, you can look it up. You can go to mymichellelive.com, pick up the book, get it for people for Christmas who like sci-fi. It has just enough faith in there that it is really gives you reason to think. I love it. And I think you'll love it too.
Very cool. Very cool. So I'm going to give a couple of recommendations myself. That definitely seems like a book that I would like to check out for sure. But for me, I would like to maybe point, if you have a subscription to Apple TV Plus, and maybe, you know, six of you do, you might want to check out a movie that also dropped this weekend called Finch. It stars Tom Hanks, and it's essentially about this man who builds a robot to take care of his dog when he's gone. It's an end of the world story. It is really very sweet. It's a PG-13 movie, so you do have a little bit of swearing. You do see Tom Hanks from the side nude, which isn't meant to be titillating, but it does happen. It's a really, really nice, cute family story that might be worth a watch. As far as book, I'm also going to give a book recommendation for those who really like C.S. Lewis, who loved Mere Christianity. You might want to check out one of the people who influenced C.S. Lewis as well. His name is G.K. Chesterton. He wrote a book called Orthodoxy, which is fabulous. It was written back in the early 1900s, and yet it feels in some ways like it was written for this present day. It has lots of humor, lots of intellect, very, very easy to read in some ways, but very dense in terms of what it's trying to communicate. So Orthodoxy, G.K. Chesterton, you can find it lots of different places. If you like C.S. Lewis's writing, that might be the next step, a deeper cut.
Right on. I'm liking that. Okay. Well, this is where we have had the opportunity to look at the movies, to review the movies, to even look at some books. And, well, you're all entertained up. And I appreciate you, Paul, so much coming on. You are such a blessing. Another book, as we're ending our time today, Beauty in the Browns, which is Paul Acey's last book, latest book. I mean, last book. What does that mean? His latest book. And it is the most hilarious, heartwarming, encouraging look at depression you could possibly imagine. It is absolutely stunning and real, and I loved it. It's life-changing. Another thing that you might, as we're getting close to the holidays, think about getting someone that you love in your life who may be dealing with depression. But you know what? Better yet, if you love someone who is suffering from depression, this is one of the best things you can do, not only for them, but for yourself. I so recommend it. So, Paul, thank you very much. Another good book. It's not just about movies with us, and I appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you so much.
More entertainment at mymichellelive.com.